Good morning. Well, if you're excited to be in God's house this morning, say amen. You know, it's exciting to be here. It's exciting just to be able to open up God's Word. It's exciting just to be able to preach out God's Word. And if you have your Bible this morning, go to Matthew. This morning, you're going to see... It might get a little crazy. I'm preaching on something that I very, very strongly dislike as far as I've had it done to me. Maybe some of you guys have done it, have had it done to you, and our Savior had it done to him, being spit in the face. You know, in today's world, and even back then, we know that being spit in the face is degrading to someone. It's very disrespectful. And you sit there and you think of how disrespectful it can be because it automatically just infuriates you as soon as it happens. You know, growing up and, again, going through my past of not being the greatest kid as far as being in a lot of fights and such, one of those fights was being spit in the face. You know, sitting here just reading and getting preparing for this message and just knowing that our Savior got spit in the face and, you know, he just sat there and he took it because he knew what he had to do. A person, a sinner like me, it's hard for me just to sit there and just take it because, you know, somebody's getting these hands. I'm just being honest with you. And I just sit here and I just get enraged and I get excited because knowing how loving our Savior is. And so if you found your spot in Matthew chapter 26, verse 67, if you could stand in honoring of God's Word. God's word says this in verse 67. Then did they spit in his face and buffet him and also smote him with the palms of their hands. Jump over a whole chapter to chapter 27 and we're going to jump over and read verse 30. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful day. God, I'm grateful for just the opportunity to just be able to open up your word. Lord, I just ask that you just hide me behind your cross, that you'd speak through me, that you're the one speaking and not me. Lord, I can't do nothing. Only you can. Lord, I just ask if there's somebody in here this morning that doesn't know you, that today would be the day. Lord, we love you. Name pray. Amen. Maybe see you. And so going through here, you see that they spit in the faces of our Savior. They smote him with the palms, and if you know anything about fighting, when I went through the police academy, they always said never use your fist. Why? Because when you go to punch somebody, especially on the ground or against the wall, and if you miss, you're breaking some fingers. And so they use the palms, and they're just hitting and hitting and hitting and hitting and hitting and spitting in the face of our Savior. But spitting in someone's face is one of the most degrading and insulting action a person can commit against another. But across history, cultures, and scripture has carried the same general meaning. Utter contempt, rejection, and humiliation. Imagine being humiliated in front of all these people, being spit in the face. And it just drives me crazy sitting there thinking about it. And sit there and just go back, put yourself in the situation as far as seeing it happen, being there, that Jesus got spit in the face, or just being in the situation that someone else is being spit in the face. What are you going to do about it? And you sit there and it just, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but you know, this morning, even last night when I'm sitting there, you know, prepping, the kids were watching some Christmas movies, but man, I'm sitting there just hitting my little studying, little table I was studying on, and I'm just like, man, I was ready. But many Asian and African tradition, spitting was and still is considered the height of insult. It marked a person as beneath notice, unworthy of respect. But even in the Western world today, being spat upon is still considered one of the lowest insults. In fact, it is often treated in law as assault because of its degrading nature. Spitting in the face communicates, one, is utter rejection. You are beneath me. Disdain and contempt, I just don't like you. I despise you. Just sit there and think, it doesn't mean you just have to spit in somebody's face. You look at the good old Jamar Chase spitting in one of the cornerbacks' face a few weeks ago. He goes, you sit there and think about it. He got suspended from a game, had a fine and all that. That's how bad it is. You know, it's not just going up to somebody and saying, nice to meet you. No. But in the Bible, spitting in the face was a symbol of shame and dishonor. Go to Numbers chapter 12, verse 14. It's on your screen if you don't have your Bible. And it says this, "And the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had put spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days, and her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that, let her be received in again." Spitting in the face was a severe that they were literally unclean and had to be quarantined. In Leviticus 15:8, it says this, "And if he that hath the issue spit upon him that is clean, then he shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even." And so in ancient Middle Eastern culture, spitting in the face was seen as worse than striking a person. That's why it infuriates me. I remember growing up on the bus, and this kid thought he had the audacity to sit there and think he was cool because his friends dared him. You know, it's almost like the Christmas story. "I double dog dare you. Come on, come on. Hey, what happens next? Come on, guys." Ooh. And so, you know, in the when I was on the bus, you know, all his friends, you know, they double dog, they triple dog. And, you know, less to say, I got bullied a little bit when I was younger, and that's okay. But then eventually they found out that I got the hands. You know, I got spit in the face more than one time, unfortunately. And I tell you what, I walked out and I said, that was easy. Not sit here and just brag. I'm ashamed to even say so because, again, why sit there and just bother with it? But you sit there and think, all through Scripture, you see that it's a disgrace. It's disgusting. It's absolutely awful. It's totally against what should happen. But in Scripture, it was the ultimate way to strip somebody of dignity in front of others and downgrade them. Sit there and think about that. It's almost just like making fun of somebody. You're downgrading them. But then once they get spit on, whew, it's like lower than low. You're like stomping on them like a bug. Oh my gosh, spider! And then you stomp on them and twist it. I think it's even lower than that. But spit in the face can be, number one, is the desecration of the sinless. And you say, well, what's that word desecration mean? Well, it's defiling the word of God, completely going against it. And so there you see there in Matthew 26, 67 and 27 and verse 30. Those two are main texts today of spitting in our Savior's face. Man, that really just completely just pushed him down. Completely pushed him away. And you sit there and you think of how crazy it is. Again, going through and the other day, technically it's Friday, you know, I always have to, again, throw a story of my son in there. I'm really ragging it on him, and this isn't a good story. If I found out, I'd been really upset, but my wife told me later. But I'm studying from a message. She comes home, and she was very agitated at the ladies' meeting. And at first, I thought it was over me, and I'm like, man, what did I do? Like, I've been trying. And so she's like, I don't want to talk about it now. And I said, okay, that's fine. So she gets home, doing the ladies' thing. And if you didn't go to the ladies' thing, you missed out on a great event. It's good every year. He hit me. He called me dumb. You know, that just infuriated me on the inside. She said, I already took care of it, so don't worry about it. And I said, well, I want to take care of it again. That's my wife that you're doing that to, and I don't like that. But sitting there just thinking, it's just something like that. It happens today. It happened back then. But it's just so downgrading somebody. You go through and you sit there and think about that in today's world. What would you think happened if you just spat on somebody? Yeah, I agree. And you sit there and you think about that. I don't know, but, oh, man. Mark 10:34, it says this, "And they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again." Amen. "And some began to spit on him, and to cover his face, and to buffet him. And they say unto him, Prophecy and the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. And they smote him on the head with a reed, and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him." You sit there and think, you know, I love sitting there thinking about this, and I was telling the youth, and I'll tell you guys, is, you know, one thing I got from Men's Prayer. If you didn't come to Men's Prayer yesterday, you missed out on a wonderful time with Brother Pastor Jeremy doing the devotion. But one thing I got out of it is knowing why you believe or why you do the things you do. And so you sit here and you think of this, just the simple thing is, you know, and they mocked him. Well, God says, hey, I sent my only son to die on the cross for a filthy sinner like me. I'm just paraphrasing, but a filthy sinner like me. God says, hey, Jesus, you know what you got to do. You know what's going to happen. You know everything is going to come into play. And he knew that he's going to get spit on. He knew that he's going to get smacked and around. He knew he was going to get pierced in the side. He knew he was going to get whipped. He knew that he was going to get hung on the cross. And he sat there and he took it all because he knew. He didn't sit there and be like, what's next? Oh, hopefully this doesn't happen. No, he knew. And the reason he knew is because he knew that we're all a bunch of filthy sinners, and he knew that we need a forever home in heaven. And for us to say, hey, I needed to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. He got spat on because of me. He got sad because of me. He got whipped because of me. He got hung on the cross because of me. He got his hair pulled out because of me. He got his beard plucked because of me. He got all these things happen to him because of me. And I sit here when someone spits on me, I get, let's go. But when none of us, when we sit here and we read through this, we get excited at what Jesus did for us. We just kind of say, oh, he already did it. We don't get, you know, mad about it. Why? You sit there and think. People sit there and use the Lord name in vain and we just let it go. People sit there and just downgrade our Savior and we just let it go. Why? Why do we do so? It's the same as sitting there being spat on. Jesus got spat on so that we can have a forever home. But when someone makes fun of our Savior, when someone, you know, downgrades us, we sit there and we just, like we're going to get hurt. You know, we know that through God's word, and I say it a lot, is that we know through God's word is that he'll never leave or forsake us. He says that all through his word. And so why when somebody says, hey, you know, your Jesus is dumb, or why would you follow such thing when you can't even see it? Why do you do this? Why do you do that? Because his word says, and I believe it. And it's so important to sit here and think about that, because when somebody downgrades our Christ, when somebody sits there and makes fun of us because we believe in something that's holy, believe something that's perfect, believe something that's sinless, and that died on the cross for my sin, and someone downgrades us, and we sit there and we say, oh, it's okay. It's not okay. That's when we stand up. You know, again, all I have is my son. I'm sure when Bodie gets older, he's going to be in the same, you know, fiasco as Braxton was. But I use him a lot as an example because, you know, just because he spat in my wife's face, that infuriates me. You know, I sat there and I looked at him and, man, I said some things that hopefully I put the fear of God in him because it just drives me nuts. But when someone talks about our God after he got spit upon and we just sit there and again, no, get angry. Fight back for our Lord and Savior. Be the one that says, hey, I'm going to stand up and do the things that I got to do for my Savior because he's the one that done stuff for me. Jesus was pure and sinless Son of God. He never committed one sin. Pilate acknowledged it and says, I find no fault in him. He already knew. He says, I find no fault in him. Pilate's wife begged him to have nothing to do with this just man. The thief on the cross confessed that Lord had nothing to do. He didn't do nothing. But yet the crowd in their zeal, their passion, their excitement to have Jesus crucified did what they could to try and desecrate the perfect Son of God. But we know by his word and we know by now that 3 days later he rose and conquered death and says, hey, you can have this tomb back because I don't need it no more. They have literally turned his precious name into a swear word. It is the desire of the world, even today, to defile and desecrate the holy things of God and try to tear us down with it. The religion of evolution is spitting in the face of Jesus. We were created in the image of God Almighty, not no monkey, not nothing else, but God Almighty. Yes. Tell the children that they evolved from a monkey is spitting in the face of Jesus. He made all things, and by him do all things consist. We know that from John 1:1-3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by him, and nothing was made that was made. And you sit there and think of how amazing and cool that is. In the beginning was the, what? Word. And the Word was who? And the Word was? And you sit there and think of how awesome that is. Because again, it goes all the way back to the very beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, in the beginning was God. Backs it up, right? Huh. to the sodomite crowd that transgender is spitting in the face of Jesus. Same-sex marriage is spitting in the face of Jesus. The picture of Christ and the church has been perverted. The abortion industry is spitting in the face of Jesus. Taking the word virgin out of these modern days translation is spitting in the face of Jesus. There's Bibles out there today that says young woman. Virgin and young woman is two different things. I'm sorry. There's a big difference between a virgin and a young woman. This is spitting in the face of Jesus. They can spit all they want to. They cannot defile and desecrate my precious Savior. The next time he comes, they won't be spitting in his face. The next time he comes, they won't be putting a crown of thorns on his head. They won't be hitting him with a reed. They won't be striking him with their hands. They won't be mocking him and scourging him and killing him. Because boy, when he comes back, I'm excited. But you sit there and you just think about that. Being spat in the face, Christ did all that so that we could defend him. Don't sit there and let somebody use his name as a curse word. Don't sit there and let somebody use his name and the Lord's name in vain. Don't sit there and let somebody degrade our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ, because when you do, you're just like the rest of the world. You're fake. Be real, be confident, be something that you can do, and go out and tell others about Christ and know why you're doing so. And then when someone asks you a question, you can say, I got it. I'm not saying you have to know everything about God's word. I don't know everything. I know very little. I'm just a Bible student. I sit here and I read and I learn something, and I sit there and say, ooh, that's good. Number two is the sin or spit in the face can be the desire of the sinners. Good old Job, chapter 30, verse 10, says this, they abhor me, they flee far from me, and spare not to spit in my face. You sit there and think of the boar, they were disgusted. They said, I don't want none of this. But let's look here at the context. Verse 30, chapter 30, verse 1. But now they that are younger than I have me in Dyerzen, whose fathers I would have disdained to have set with the dogs of my flock. But Job said, these people that have me in Dyerzen are kids of men so bad that I wouldn't have let them stay with the dogs that watched over my sheep. You see there in verse 8. Same chapter, chapter 30, verse 8. They were children of fools, yea, children of base men. They were viler than the earth. Verse 9, I don't know if I put that one in there or not, but, and now am I their song, yea, I am their byword. The world will spit on you because they abhor you. They know that we are all for Christ. They know that we stand on the foundation of Christ. They know that we love Christ. They know that we'll do anything for our Lord and Savior. They don't want nothing to do with us. Why? Because we know that we follow Christ. Why? Because we know that he's the one that's going to come back one day, and we know that at the end of his word it says that we're victorious. Why? Because God's almighty. And you sit there and you think of how awesome that is. And you go through, as you know, when people see that you're, a light, because we know that through Matthew we're supposed to be the light of the world. And we're supposed to be going out and telling people about who our Jesus is. And we're supposed to go tell them what he has done for us. We're supposed to go tell them, you know, hey, we're not for sure going to be perfect, but we're sure going to sin less. And so when you get saved and you 100% put your faith into him and you say, I got this, it's because of the word of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. But they'll do everything they can to belittle you. They'll mock you, they make fun of you, and hurt you. That's to be expected. You sit there and think, some of the youth that go to public schools and they try to invite people to Bible studies, they try to invite people to church, they try to invite people to a youth group, I guarantee you they get belittled a lot. They get made fun of. Why would you do that? Those Christians are a bunch of hypocrites. Well, so are you. Just being honest. But you sit there and think about that. Even at work, some of you adults that try to invite people to church at work or invite people to church from work, I'm sure they probably look at you like, why? But this is the one thing you don't want, guys, youth and adults. You go to church? Because once you get that, whew, it's hard to get back from that, just being honest with you. I've been there and I've done it. Make sure you're clean. Make sure you're a light of the world. Make sure you're telling people about Christ, because once you start acting like the world, they're going to slowly pull you in with them, and they're going to slowly keep going, and then eventually you're going to be right in with the world, and then they're just going to, boom. Your work employees, your church, or your school friends, they're going to be like, got them. You know, my old workplace, when I worked at an electrical place, they always invited me. Hey, do you want to go out to the bar and drink? No, I'm good. I got better things to do. I got Big Macs to eat because it's a lot cheaper than wasting my time on alcohol. And they every time they said, well, they got some alcohol-free beer. What? Okay. I guess if that's what's in your cup, that's fine. Whatever, I guess. I mean, that's between you and the Lord. But sit there and think. Don't be that person that they ask to say, well, you invited me to church, but do you really go to church? By the way you talk? How are you talking at work? Just because you ain't here at in God's house and you know you're like, oh, this is my family, ah, and then you go to work on Monday and you're sitting there, F this, F that, and you're just cussing like a sailor, and then now it's like, whoa, do you really go to church? Oh, you come to church on Sunday, and then Monday after work, Monday night, you're out at the bar drinking. You go to church on Sunday, and then Monday comes, and you're just with a different man or a woman. That's not godly at all. And you sit there and you see, how bad that looks. Because again, Jesus got spat in the face for you, and he didn't get spat in the face for you just to go out and act like a fool. But note, Job was perfect, one that feared God and eschewed evil, so what do evil men do? They spare not to spit in his face. They will not hold back if they think they can get a chance to spit in your face. The world was looking for a clean place to spit when Jesus was there, or was here, but they still are. Number three is spit in the face can be the dishonoring of self. 1 Samuel chapter 21. 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 11 says, and the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000, and he changed his behavior before them, and fiend himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled on the doors of the gate, and let his spittle fall upon his beard? Go on to the next verse. David therefore departed thence and escaped the cave of Adullam. And so you sit there and think, it was unbecoming. You see there in verse 11, and the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? But then you see there that it was uncharacteristic. Verse 12 and 13, and David laid upon these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath, and he changed his behavior before them and fiend himself mad in their hands. But then it was unnatural. Verse 13, the last part of it, and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall upon his beard. It's not normal to let your spit run out of your mouth unless you have rabies. A person that does that has a problem. David was doing things to himself that was unnatural. You see there in verse 13 it says, and let his spittle fall down. He allowed it to happen. He did nothing to stop it. But did you know your own eyes can offend thee? Your own hand can offend thee. But get this. Looking at pornography is spitting in our own face. Fornication is spitting in our own face. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20, very famous verses here. Flee fornication. Run. Get away from it. Don't just stand there and say, oh, no, run. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? This is very important because if you're saved, your body's not your own. Yeah. Sit there and think. Somebody, this is what I always tell people is, if your body's not your own, your body's supposed to be the temple, then why are you harming your body? Why are you doing all the things and putting stuff in it and, putting stuff on it? You know, you're sitting there going out and, I was watching a video of this guy and I get it that it's scarring up his body or whatever. He's practicing kicking corners of the door to get, I don't even know, on the shins because he was a kickboxer. And I'm like, well, why? Why would you harm? It was just sending pain up through my spine just sitting there looking at it, just nonstop. I mean, he wasn't just going, he was coming just kicking. And all I think was my ankle was going to break. Go to the last verse there, verse 20. For ye are bought with a what?
Christ.
Therefore glorify who? In your body and in your spirit, which are whose? So remember that. All these things that you do, you're spitting in your own face. And you sit there and you say, oh, a little bit of drink is going to be okay. A little bit of pornography is going to be okay. No, because you're spitting in your own face. Adultery is spitting in your own face. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 32 and 33. Proverbs 6, 32 and 33. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. D here is it was unwelcomed. Then said Achish unto his servants, lo, ye see the man is mad, wherefore then have ye brought him to me. Have I need of man that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in the presence? That shall his fellow come unto my house. This is what happens to a lot of Christians. They allow their surroundings to make them forget who they really are. They allow their intimidation and fear of the world to cause them to dishonor and defile themselves. Because they're too focused on what everybody else around them is doing. The only thing that matters is the Word of God. And you sit there and you think, if God, you know, he died on, he sent his son to die on the cross. He bought us with a price. Body's not our own. And you sit there and you think of how important that is, because you sit there and say, wow, you know, our God got spat in the face. He got whipped. He had all these things happen to him. And he says, hey, I bought you with a price. And you sit there and you think, our God did all this. My question is right now is, what are you doing for him? Because you sit there and you think, all this happened to him. And again, it just the word just spit in the face, man. It just crowds me going. But you notice here that Daniel refused to defile himself. It was one thing when the world spit in your face, but it's another thing when you spit in your own face. You are a child of the king, so guess what? You should act like it. So you sit there and you think, quit setting your own self up for failure. You know, the famous thing, I'm sure you heard it, is, you know, the preacher says it all the time, you know, if Jesus was here, you know, what would you be doing? Would you still be acting fool tomorrow when you wake up for school or for work? Or would you actually be doing something different? Would you, you know, be going home and loving your spouse? Or are you just, you know, going to the bar afterwards? Are you going home from school and doing your work that you're supposed to be doing, your homework and the chores that your parents, instead of being asked to do it 20,000 times, or are you just going home and doing so and being the good kid that you're supposed to be? The Bible says that you should love your father and your mother. And you sit there and you think about this. We're never going to be able to grow this church as if we're not serious for the Lord. We're never going to be able to do anything for God if we're going to be constantly being a deadbeat person. We're never going to be able to do anything for God as if we're here one day and then we're back over here the next. We're never going to be able to do anything for God as if we're here 1 month and then the next month we're completely away from God. You're never going to be able to grow in your spiritual walk if you can't sit there and say, I'm fully committed, and like a message I preached a long time ago is, I'm going to burn the bridge and I'm going to keep moving forward, and I'm so focused on God and what He has for me, because that's the way you're going to grow. You're not going to be able to grow and sit there and say, well, I read this much today. You know, I think I read enough for a few days. I think I got till Friday and I can start reading again. You're never going to grow if you're not reading God's Word. You're never going to grow if you're not praying. You're never going to grow if you're not inviting others to church. You're never going to grow if you're not studying thyself to be approved. So ask yourself, what are you doing? Are you being a sluggard? My favorite word. And I hope you're not, because I tell you what, sluggards, it's down there with the spit in the face. Lazy people, it's hard for me. I'm being honest with you. Maybe I'm always on the move. I'm always doing something, work, side work, fiddling around with stuff in the garage. Came home one night at 10 o'clock at night because our refrigerator drawer stopped working, and so I have the whole refrigerator torn apart. Megan comes in and says, so you come home from a side work just to get yourself into something else. Yep, sorry, baby. I just can't do it. I can't help it.
Don't be a sluggard and do something for God.
So ask yourself, are you spitting God? Are you spitting in the face of God right now?